Thank you. All right. So we can be strong and courageous, right? That's our declaration. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you that you are in heaven interceding on behalf of everyone that's here this morning, as you do every day. And Holy Spirit, I thank you that you carry out those prayers here on earth in our lives. And so this morning, I declare that we shall come in alignment with what you are carrying out in our lives, so that those prayers will be fulfilled in Jesus' name. Amen. All my life, I've witnessed people who would do a petition type of prayers. That's where people would make requests. That's where people would plead with God. And sometimes they would even beg God. So I began to wonder, are there any other types of prayers? And as I read the book of Mark, I found that if you look at that book, it's a very short book, 16 chapters, but the first 10 chapters, Jesus is healing people through prayer. And these prayers are proclamations, they are declarations, they are commands. And he's either healing people or setting people free. So then I asked myself, did Jesus ever pray a prayer of petition? So I had to think about that for a little bit. Did he ever pray a prayer of petition? And then I remembered John 17. And there are several verses in that chapter, but I only mention one, verse 11. And when he said, Holy Father, I am about to leave this world to return and be with you, but my disciples will remain here. So I ask that by the power of your name, protect each one that you have given me, and watch over them so that they will be united as one, even as we are one. So there was a petition that he had given to the Father. So I've done petition type of prayers. I've done commanding prayers. But what do I mean if I were to say affirmation type of prayer? What is that? Well, an affirmation type of prayer is when you come into agreement with what God has already said or what God has already done. Now, did Jesus ever use a prayer of affirmation? I had to think about that for a little bit. And I thought about the story of Lazarus. When he goes to the tomb, and in that situation, you know, they rolled away the stone, and then Jesus looked up to heaven. This is John 11, if you want to look it up yourself. John 11, verse 41 and 42. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me. But I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here, so that they will believe you sent me. So it wasn't for his benefit, it was for their benefit. And he was agreeing that God does hear him, and he hears him all the time. Now, today's text, what I want to look at, and we're going to put it on the screen, I'm looking at two different versions. One is the Amplified Version, and one is the Passion Translation. Now, we're looking at the chapter 7 of the book of Luke. And in the book of Luke, you're going to see, in this chapter, you're going to see those three different types of prayer. And so I'm going to read this to you. Now, a Roman centurion slave who was highly regarded by him was sick and on the verge of death. When the centurion heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders to him, asking him to come and save the life of his slave. When they reached Jesus, they pleaded with him earnestly to come, saying, He is worthy for you to do this for him, because he loves our nation and he built us our synagogue at his own expense. And Jesus went with them. But When he was near the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying, "Lord, do not trouble yourself further, for I am not worthy for you to come under my roof. Therefore, I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But just speak a word, and my slave will be healed. For I also am a man subject to authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to this one, 'Go,' and he goes. And to the other one, I say, 'Come,' and he comes. And to my slave, 'Do this,' and he does it." Now when Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him and turned and said to the crowd that was following him, "I say to you, not even in Israel have I found such great faith as this man's." When the messengers who had been sent returned to the house, they found the slave in good health. Now, if you look at the next translation of it, it's just a slightly variation. I'm not reading all of it again, but just part of it. Basically, what the centurion wanted conveyed to Jesus, he said, "Master, don't bother to come to me in person, for I am not good enough for you to enter my home. I'm not worthy enough to even come out to meet one like you. But if you would just release the manifestation of healing right where you are, I know that my young servant will be healed." So they came to Jesus and told him. And so they told him that. And then you go on to that, down near the bottom of that portion. It says, "Unlike you, I am just an ordinary man. Yet I understand the power of authority, and I see that authority operating through you. I have soldiers under me who obey my every command. I also have authorities over me whom I likewise obey. So, Master, just speak the word, and the healing will flow." Jesus marveled at this, and he turned around and said to the crowd who had followed him, "Listen, everyone, never have I found one among the people of God, a man like this, who believes in so strongly in me." And Jesus spoke the healing word from a distance. It's key, from a distance. So, when we look at this passage, we see three types of prayer. The petition prayer. Who prayed the petition prayer? Any ideas? The Jewish leaders who had gone, right? They said they pleaded with Jesus to come with them. Right? The affirmation prayer was by the centurion, because he said, "Yet I understand the power of authority, and I see that authority operating in you." Right? He was coming in agreement with what he had already seen. So he said, "So, Master, just speak the word and healing will flow. I know that my young servant will be healed." I know. There's a confidence. There's a conviction in the knowing. And that came out through his prayer. And then the commanding prayer was from Jesus, who had basically said he spoke the healing word from a distance. While this ordinary man, a centurion, knew how authority worked. How did he know it worked? He said he saw it operating in Jesus. Well, in the story it says he heard of Jesus. And we don't see him actually talking to Jesus directly. He sends other people. So how does he know? Well, if you were to study that same book, the book of Luke, and look at previous chapters, you'll see that this Jesus had already been to their town. And what did he do? Well, when he was in that town, he healed a man who was demon-possessed. And after that happened, the people of that town began to bring all their sick ones, sick loved ones, to Jesus. And one by one, he just healed them all. Boom, 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 boom. And this is the response that the people gave. They said, "What kind of man is this who has such power and authority? With a mere word, he commands demons to come out, and they obey him. The reports about Jesus spread like wildfire throughout every community in the surrounding region. So as a result of knowing what Jesus had already done in the life of the people in his whole town, he decided, I'm going to make a prayer of declaration. And he sent word with these friends and with these leaders and said, just speak a word and my slave will be healed. He was coming in agreement. Just speak a word. And he said, for I also am a man subject to authority. With soldiers under me, I say to one, go, and he goes, and the other, come. This centurion had made a connection between authority and healing in the life of his servant. He knew that this authority went beyond just the person who was exercising it. So not just anybody can do it. There had to be a rule in place. And the rule that was in place was, I'm under authority, so then I can have authority. And so there are three things I would mention about this. One, he knew that in order to have authority and use it, he had to first submit himself to the authority of others. If I don't submit to those above me, how do I expect to have those below me submit to me? Number two, his authority did not represent the centurion, but it represented the people above him. The authority that Jesus carried came from heaven, came from the Father. He was given authority to then carry out these tasks. And number three, he had to use his authority in a manner that truly represented the one who sent him. You can't misrepresent him and still maintain the authority. So Jesus said, this authority that this guy is talking about is equated to faith. This guy was expressing faith in what he was asking Jesus to do. And Jesus said this, if you were to look at John 6:38, you can write this down. He says, Jesus said, for I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. You see that authority given there? He was submitting to authority, not to do his own will, but to do the Father's will. And then if you were to look at later on in the book of John, chapter 20, verses 21 to 22, which we looked at this verse before the last time I spoke, and Jesus said, he met the disciples after he had resurrected, and he said, peace to you. And then here are the key words. He says, as the Father has sent me, I also send you as my representatives. As the Father has sent me, I have also sent you. And when he said this, he breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. So if they were going to be walking as him, doing the things that Jesus had done in submission to the Father, and they were in submission to Jesus, they also needed the Holy Spirit. Because they would say about Jesus, here's a man who speaks with authority, not like the Pharisees. And the only thing I could think of is the Pharisees had head knowledge, but they didn't have heart knowledge and heart relationship with God, and they didn't have the Holy Spirit speaking to them the things of heaven. And we know that because Jesus would meet alone with the Father during the night. He would get up early in the morning or go late at night, and he would spend a night in prayer. And it was those times that God began to share his heart, and therefore then he shared his heart with us. Now, in my own life, as I look at prayer, I felt I needed to expand my prayer beyond the first two, which was the issue of petition prayer and commanding prayer. But I wanted to explore this idea of how do you pray prayers of affirmation? And I began by looking at a book called Heaven Declares. It's a 90-day journal, and I, as I read the book, I wondered, what is heaven declaring about me? What are the promises that God is declaring over my life? And within that particular book, I found these four things, and you can write them down. I'll just give them to you first, and then I'll explain each one. Number one, identify. Number two, declare. Number three, seek further instruction. And number four, implement. What do I mean by those four? Number one, once I began to identify what those promises were that God was speaking over my life, I began to write them down. Why? Because I wanted to align my heart with what God said. Judy read from Psalms 103. That's my favorite psalm. You know, in that psalm, we are commanding our soul to praise the Lord, right? If I say, praise the Lord, O my soul, I'm commanding my soul. I'm telling my soul what to do. And that's important. I need to align my thoughts and my heart with what God is saying, because just like Daniel said last week, he said, it's not just about hearing God's voice, it's about listening for that voice and listening to that voice. Number two, then after I have already identified what those promises are, I would begin to declare them out loud. You know, because we are told in I believe it's either in Romans, that says that we confess with our mouth and we believe in our heart, and that's how we come into salvation. You see? There's a two-step process. And so what does the word declare mean? It means this: to declare one's position in a controversy. In other words, to establish one's own convictions in a matter. I need to know what I believe, so therefore I need to begin to declare what they are. And I do that by coming in agreement with God's word. Number three, after I've already identified what those promises are and after I've declared, I begin to seek further instruction about what other practical steps can I take to walk out the revelation God is giving me. And four, I implement what I currently know and I make adjustments along the way. Because I'm not going to get it perfect the first time. I'm going to make adjustments as I go along the way. I continued this process with another book that I read. It was called The Real You, Believing Your True Identity. And in that book, there are 10 different topics I spent a lot of in that book, but I spent a lot of time focusing on four of them. One of them was aligning my thoughts with heaven. Two, understanding my new identity. Three, receiving a healed and restored heart. Why is that? Because I don't know about you, but sometimes we carry wounds in our heart, and they need to be restored. They need to be healed. And four, understanding that I am completely forgiven. These days, I find myself praying these kind of prayers. as I pray over people. When people ask for prayer, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to stop and I'm going to start just listen. Lord, what are you saying about this person? So I'll ask questions of the Holy Spirit. What are you saying about this person? I won't jump into prayer. I'll wait. I'll worship quietly. They're not going to hear me probably worshiping in my spirit. And then I'll pray in the spirit. I'll just pray in the spirit. Those are the things that I'm going to do. Because I don't want to pray for you and it come out of me. It has to come from heaven. So I have to wait. The four beforehand or this? Okay, so when I'm praying for others, first I'm going to just stop and listen to hear what the Lord is saying about the person in front of me. And I'll get them, you might have a different order, it doesn't really matter the order, just whatever God lays on your heart. The second thing would be, I worship quietly. I worship quietly before the Lord. Father, I just thank you. I worship you. I bless your name. I thank you for Cassidy. And I would be doing that. And then I would pray in the Spirit. And I'd ask questions. I'd say, Cassidy, I'd say, Lord, what is the desire of Cassidy's heart? And what is your desire for her heart? And then as he begins to reveal, I'd speak that forth over Cassidy. And just like the scripture says that we are to look for men of peace in a city, I would say, Cassidy, you're a woman of peace. That when people see you, when they talk to you saying, I feel at peace when I'm around you. You may not feel it now, you may not think it now. But that's what the Lord's calling you. He's calling you to be a woman of peace. And so that your bubble, that whatever you have, peace goes before you. And lastly, you know, Jim gave us this guide. And in this, there's a list of declarations. And you could read them one by one, you know. And you could read them with me. I could say, I am greatly loved by God, right? And you could repeat, I am greatly loved by God. And Judy and I will go through these and we'll read them. But then you can take them and make them more personal. You know, you could, so if I say, I am greatly loved by God, that's making it for me. But then Judy and I will turn around and say it for our family. I'm saying, Elisa and Josiah, you are greatly loved by God. And I would read those through, and they would become prayers of declaration over my children and grandchildren. Now, as a form of concluding tonight, today, we have selected a song called Protector. And we're going to place the song on the screen, and the lyrics will be there for you to join along, so that you yourselves can practice prayers of affirmation. It can be with words and no music, or it can be in a song, as we are going to have it now. And so we're going to do that now. So give your attention to the screens. The song is called Protector from Kim Walker Smith.
Who have left me?